James 4:7, where it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You may be seated.
Well, good morning. They say a picture is worth a thousand words. So I'm going to talk about this unknown cowboy who, judging by his saddle, sidearm, and rifle, was riding the trail circa 1870 or 1880. But on the back of this early photograph is simply inscribed, "Indian Fighter." Now, the more I look at this young man, the more I can see the disappearing manhood from our heritage of the Aryan warrior, the rugged individual, or even the Phineas priest. His boyish look of a young King David should not be confused with youthful indiscretions. To the contrary, I see a determined lad living a fearless life of Joshua, with faith in his bloodline, boldly running through his veins. He was fighting the Canaanites of his day in a wilderness-turning promised land. We don't know if he was a Christian, but there's no denying that the new covenant law was written in his heart and mind, as it is with every white person. You can tell by looking at him that he feared no evil, even though he may have walked through the Valley of Comanches. My grandpa was a cowboy in Montana, and my uncles always looked up to him and admired his true grit, living in a sod house and punching cattle in the waning years of open range in a Wild West America. My grandpa's father was a captain in the Confederacy and after the war became a Texas Ranger, whose motto was, "The only good Indian is a dead Indian." Now, Orwellian historians now deny this expression being entirely politically incorrect, so it's been flushed down the memory hole. In fact, the rewriting of history by a bunch of Chicano lawyers and academics described the Rangers in the 1979 book Gunpowder Justice with the utmost calumny and contempt, stating their purpose, quote, "To expose the popular image to scholarly scrutiny and to analyze the reasons why the Texas Rangers have secured a tenaciously favorable reputation in the minds of the American public," end quote. Well, let me tell you, the American cowboy is admired throughout the world and made its mark on history. And we are exposing the modern Canaanite that would take away that heritage. Through the prism of alien revisionism, we quickly see their intent to, quote, unmask the legends and write their historical version of, quote, racism, repression, and resistance. The authors state, quote, "The Texas Rangers and the legends handed down through the generations in extravagant terms are manifestations of that strain of Americanism which our country correctly identifies as racism. The Texas Ranger is the law and order, cactus and tumbleweed version of Horatio Alger. White, self-sufficient, the most rugged individuals possessing in abundance, virtues that all men aspire to. In short, the most perfect entity to preserve and protect all that is good, decent, and honest against contamination by alien peoples or philosophies, end quote. From an alien perspective, the Rangers had a history of racism and resistance to mongrelization. Their racism was correct because they did not possess or they did not suppress their identity. They call it evil. I call it good. Thus, an enemy calling good evil. I'm a Christian identity minister because the white pride of my heritage, going back 6,000 years to Adamic stock, and not before that. And that's in my DNA. And nothing will ever change that. We must never apologize for being white. I will resist the heathen devils of indecency and dishonesty with the last drop of ink in my pen and the last drop of blood in my body. The virtuous white man is nearly extinct because they have taken away our heritage and the will to resist the serpentine masses. By the way, have you heard of the Cal exit? For years, radical Mexican Americans, mongrels, have demanded the soil of the American Southwest be returned to Mexico. From their own website, they say, quote, in 2016, the United Kingdom voted to leave the international community with their Brexit vote. Our Cal exit referendum is about California joining the international community. Can you smell the opposition? The hijinks of the New World Order taking itself just a little bit too seriously? They are, in fact, joining the international Jew. These two pictures remind me of a Willie Nelson song. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys, because they'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. And each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him and he don't die young, he'll probably just ride away. Well, we're not riding off into the sunset. We're galloping into the kingdom. This is a picture of my grandpa on the left, and yours truly on the right. I was about 5 years old on that little pinto pony, and one of my birthday presents was a cap gun. And at that age, I don't even know if they sell cap guns anymore, but at that age, we played cowboys and Indians, and the neighborhood kids pretended to kill each other. I was always the cowboy because my grandpa and his daddy were cowboys. It was normal fun in the 1950s for white children to reenact John Wayne and Jimmy Stewart westerns. That's before Dr. Spock and Hollywood began to sanitize the old West with multiculturalism and portraying the Indian as the noble environmentalist. The Lone Ranger was aptly titled, being the lone nutcase having an Indian sidekick, that is Tonto and Kemosabe. The Jewish movie moguls began to erase the history of the white man in America, the heroes of our race, who had the spirit and motivation for manifest destiny of westward expansion from coast to coast. They would ride into the frontier without the slightest trepidation. They were pioneers and settlers, lawmen and gunmen, who had a semblance of Christian civility. And they were Indian fighters and racist according to the word of God. In Texas, they drove out the Mexicans and Indians in the then fledging republic with an energy that serves us as a noble role model today. And I'd like to dedicate this sermon to commemorate it to the American hero, the cowboy, the unsung heroes of the Old West, the Texas Rangers. As well as this time of year where we annually recognize our brothers in South Africa, who in 1838, I believe, December 13th, if I'm not mistaken, fought the Zulus and won a supernatural victory. The 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, and South Africa today, by the way, has been taken over by communists. The 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, that is a free public education, has done more to destroy white children in modern times than anything else, except for perhaps vaccinations. The strategy of gradualism makes the investment in decades of time from one generation to the next to contaminate the culture of white Christian America. Where did we just hear that word, contaminate? From the Chicano scholars. Who would have thought that academia itself would bludgeon everything from the arts to the sciences, a conformity to godless worldliness? The protocols are over 200 years old, and their change agents have likewise evolved from their respective familial generations because it's in their blood to deny Jesus Christ and to despoil Christianity. We have lost battle after battle in the war of words, but we will win the war with the Word of God. It's in our blood to hear Jesus Christ. We will defeat those who live by the sword, who account us as sheep for the slaughter. Many shall perish along the way because of their unbelief that it is time to get racist, to repress the Jewish propaganda, and to resist those who worship a lie. There is nothing more precious than our children, white children, to advance the kingdom of God. Then some children were brought to him, so that he might lay hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." The day of the Lord is the Kristallnacht of the Bible, whereby the final solution is the last word. Public education, and especially universities, teach nothing but surrender and suicide. There are actually child molesters, and a culture of perverts who cannot and will not receive the love of truth, that they might be saved. What I mean by that is the occult religion that is predicated upon a lie and has caused so much death and destruction. We lost the battle of Judaism attaching itself to Christianity. Christian identity is the last vestige of academic theology to prove the Jews are not Israel. And for that right to freely speak in the marketplace of ideas, we are demonized and unmercifully slandered. But blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So we must be doing something right to incur the wrath of the wicked for resisting assimilation into the throes of Babylon. The scribes and Pharisees are now going into warp drive to avoid the damning evidence they've perpetrated in the last election and in society as a whole for the last century. They overtly promulgated fake news during the last election and are now accusing the truth bearers of disseminating fake news. It doesn't matter what your political persuasion is or lack thereof. What's important to know is that they lied to us and continue to obfuscate the truth. The good news of the Christian identity is that it will defeat the fake news because the truth shall make you free. My wife and I went on the first Trump event on his thank you tour in Cincinnati, December 1st, which is right across the Ohio River from Kentucky. We went to see for ourselves the truth of the matter and not the media spin machine and distortions. We went actually to witness history. The arena, the U.S. Bank Arena, is the largest in the area, seating 17,500. The media said it was only half full, which was true an hour before the event began. The truth is, being that I was there, about, I would estimate, 15,000 people, a conservative estimate, filled the seats by the time the speakers began. It probably would have been standing room only had it not been for the Secret Service shutting down major highways for nearly 3 hours, which Trump was unaware of and profusely apologized for. The event was not without a prayer, as a white lady holding her baby led us in Christian prayer. However, as the speakers began their 5-minute speeches, the theme of the Judeo-Christian tradition echoed from speaker to speaker. One thing we immediately noticed was that the crowd was almost 99% white. But the crowd was well aware of non-whites pouring into our nation. One speaker mentioned the Somalian menace in Minnesota, which I referenced in a recent sermon. Much to the chagrin of Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin, who also spoke and has mindlessly adopted half a dozen tar black Somali children into his blended family. He even advertised his proud image of race mixing in political ads when he was running for governor. But the most heartwarming moment during the evening is when Trump mentioned the lying media with the press corps in an area between him and the standing audience on the floor. There must have been 20 TV cameras on an elevated stage and another 20 media whores seated in front of their laptops to the side. Now, if booing could be measured on the seismograph, the needle went into the red. It sent a very clear message to the media and Trump that we, the people, are fed up with being lied to. There was only one incident of protesters unfurling a banner that said, "Stop Trump deportations," and the crowd did not take kindly to that either. We shall see if there's a paradigm in progress. That's what awakened the wrath of the Saxon in the first place. The Trump declaration banning all Muslims entering our country. On Trump's second stop of the thank you tour in North Carolina, mention of the media again prompted an immediate negative reaction, only to be interrupted by Trump himself saying, "No, no, no." It is odd that by the time Trump got to Iowa on his tour, the thunder has subsided. Maybe it's because he's sending mixed signals and reneging on his original promises. It used to be a man's word was his bond. Mark Twain said, "If you don't read the newspapers, you're uninformed. If you read the newspapers, you're misinformed." Babylon's fake news is falling apart. Trump liked to put things on a crescendo, including his own movement. Quote, "The likes of which our country has never seen before, never ever. Let's be clear on one thing. The corporate media in our country is no longer involved in journalism. They're a politically special interest, no different than any lobbyist or other financial entity with a total political agenda. And the agenda is not for you, it's for themselves. And their agenda is to elect crooked Hillary Clinton at any cost, at any price, no matter how many lives they destroy. For them, it's a war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation, believe me. And this will be our last chance to save it." End quote. Before I go any further, let me explain to you what I mean by a friction Christian. First, let us understand that the opposite of friction, according to a thesaurus of antonyms, is, quote, agreement, peace, and harmony. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Well, unless you're a Christian and are being forced to water down the word of God for the sake of a happy face. The Oxford Dictionary defines friction as, quote, the resistance that one surface or object encounters when moving over another. Ah, our founding fathers were onto something. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Ever hear of the slippery slope? You know, the one that slides into hell slicker than snot? The communist view of manhood is that you must submit to the strong leader with the rest of the sheeple. For example, Pastor Robert Diffenbaugh, pastor at Community Bible Chapel in Richardson, Texas, says, quote, "Whether the government be totalitarian or democratic, the Christian's obligation is to submit. To submit to it is the same thing," end quote. Now, if this were the common perception throughout 2,000 years of saints and martyrs, there would be no Christianity whatsoever. Yeah, I usually don't quote Catholics, but Catherine of Siena is reputed to have said, quote, "Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire." I like that. That does dovetail with Scripture, as God's messengers are likened to a flame of fire. In addition to modern definitions, the 1828 Webster says, quote, "Many bodies by friction emit light, and friction generates or evolves heat," end quote. Now, if I may quote myself, I've said that where there's smoke, there's fire, and where there's fire, there's light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we are his light bearers. We choose to live in the light and to resist the darkness. From today's reading in James 4:7, we submit to God, but resist the devil. Now, I don't know how anybody can resist ghosts and goblins, but I do know how we can resist false accusers, which is the proper translation of the Greek diablos, or devil. We resist the masters of deceit by being an army of one, not waiting for the great white hope, not waiting for your neighbor to do it. If a righteous leader comes along, fine. But Trump ain't it, at least not yet. He most likely has not read my open letter yet. A friction Christian is a fighter who cannot be in agreement with the adversaries of God. If we are to obey God rather than man, then that means there can never be peace with the traditions of man that make God's word of none effect. There can never be racial reconciliation or harmony when the law clearly states they shall not dwell in thy land. If we try to reconcile them being in our land, we will lose every argument. We fought the Indians because they were Asiatic and not native to the land. They were savages that killed each other. Another inconvenient truth. The truth is, Christ said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." In Luke, it says division. The new world order lives by the sword. So there must be another sword from which they will die by. The last 2,000 years, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. That is coming to an end. Speaking of my open letter to Donald Trump, it's been discovered by dozens of hybrid websites regurgitating an article from rawsewage.com, not its real name, not disappointing us with a flagrant disregard for the truth. The truth? They don't want no stinking truth. There were over 400 comments, or should I say, rabid, foaming at the mouth, hate speech that you just can't tolerate intolerance. And here's a few examples of the Judaized communist state of mind. They're talking about me, your pastor. Bigoted idiots and religiously radicalized cultists such as this self-proclaimed minister are not worth the time nor the effort to discuss, debate, nor acknowledge that their existence in modern-day America has any justifiable reasoning. Unfortunately, they do exist in small, cultish numbers, and therefore we cannot ignore them entirely. But that does not mean that society should provide such maniacally insane people with a public speaking platform, end quote. We need these pukes to come out of the woodwork and speak their vitriol. That way we can track them and it becomes easier to arrest them when they start doing the jobs they see won't get done by the Trump administration. Arrest them and keep them in jail for the rest of their lives. White supremacy should be punishable by life in prison with hard labor. I would gladly use my size 11s to drive this piece of blank ball so far up his body that he'd blank choke to death on them. The next one. White supremacists, Aryan brothers, skinheads, and whatever else you call yourselves, you should be strung upside down and have your throat slit so that you can taste blood as it pumps out of your useless carcass. This piece of blank, his followers, and anyone like them should be put down like the rabid dogs they are. Please, please, you filthy preacher, blankety blank, come to Winnipeg, where I live now. Come and tell me when and where to meet you. I will rip your blank throat out with my teeth. I will gladly sacrifice my life to remove the cancer that you are from this planet. The next guy, my name is Diego Montoya. You have killed my father. Prepare to die, blankety blank. He's nothing but one more demented bigot who thinks he can disguise his hate and racism by preaching. I think we need to crack down on hate mongers like this blank fake Christian. Christians like these seem to be completely disconnected of all fact and reality. Scary crowd. I speak as an atheistic Gentile. I will stand next to you, meaning the Jew who posted a little earlier. This blank must end before it spreads. We have to cut out the cancer now. Nice Jewish girl here. I will personally take my Second Amendment rights very seriously if this blank goes beyond this stage. There have always been these nutcases. Now the tables have turned and they are nearing a tipping point we have not seen since Germany. If you weren't freaking out up until now, you should be. This is real. Do not tell yourself that this can't happen here. It has already happened here several times. It can happen again. Remember in college when you were asked to analyze how the German people could have let something as heinous as the Holocaust happen right under their nose. Well, I think you get the idea. Sorry, I had to indulge you with so many nitwits. But this craven crowd of cowards and hypocrites are exactly the brainwashed clones that George Orwell warned us about. They're the devils of Matthew 5:11. It is the typical cacophony of brain-dead slaves who are impervious to the invisible chains that choke their own ability to have a semblance of critical thinking. The last sentence above exemplifies a memory of something that never happened. A Holocaust invented as a model for all future fake news stories. Got pizza? Have I got a conspiracy theory for you? It's ironic how I'm inspired to deliver substantive and biblical commentaries for the informed Christian because of uninformed, misinformed, and deformed commentators who wouldn't fact-check something if their limp-wristed lives depended on it. It was suggested to me that I report some of the above diatribe death threats to the FBI. Evidently, my defense of Christ is so offensive to some people that they want to crucify me. And to do that, they have to reinvent Jesus himself and make their own laws. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, huh? Wink, wink. My life is in the hands of the only Messiah that has walked the earth and ascended to heaven. If the Lord says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, then that's where I'm going to put my trust and what I'm going to do. The gods of this world appear to be college professors and TV anchors. Both specialize in molding young minds like clay to dumb down the nonconformist. The friction Christian follows another path. And do not be conformed to this world or age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Conformity requires nothing but going with the flow. We must think differently than the mob mentality of mongrelization, and that the only mission of Jesus was love and peaceful coexistence. Pastor Lawrence Blanchard put it in no uncertain terms. He said, it doesn't matter what you think the Bible says, what you believe the Bible says, or what you feel it says. It only matters what you can prove by the evidence of the written words within the Bible to determine what it actually says and means, end quote. The Bible is not open for private interpretations. If you can't prove something, it's good for nothing. Some scriptures are self-evident, like James 4:4. You adulterous people! Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. End quote. Now, the charge of adulterous people pertained to Israel whoring after the profane world of strangers and their alien gods, rather than going against the grain and being separate. Ever notice how the word isolationism is always a negative insinuation? When we go against the grain, we are causing friction. If there was ever a time for hate, it's now. Peaceful coexistence is the universalism of hate. What is it about the future without white people that I'm supposed to love and be at peace with? Do you know how big Pizzagate is? Just to show you the extent of a psyop doing damage control and how the whole house of cards can come crashing down. The puppet in chief got his strings pulled and gave a speech in Greece saying, quote, "I do believe, separate and apart from any election or movement, that we are going to have to guard against a rise in a crude sort of nationalism or ethnic identity, Christian identity, or tribalism that is built up around an us and them. And I will never apologize for saying that the future of humanity and the future of the world is going to be defined by what we have in common, as opposed to those things that separate us and ultimately lead us into conflict," end quote. On the same visit to Greece, a once great nation of Grecian Israelites, only to have its empire mongrelized, Obama said, quote, "And as these real problems have been neglected, alternative visions of the world have pressed forward both in the wealthiest countries and in the poorest. Religious fundamentalism, the politics of ethnicity or tribe or sect, aggressive nationalism, a crude populism, sometimes from the far left, but more often from the far right, which seeks to restore what they believe was a better, simpler age free of outside contamination," end quote. In case you missed the significance of what was said, the subliminal import was a declaration of war against the white race. As if we didn't already know that. Well, not everybody. The racial alien seems to know that they are a contaminant because it can never be anything other than us and them. Last week, Pastor Elmore gave a thumbnail sketch of Pizzagate, and the American public really hasn't heard much about it because the media says it's fake news. That is just a bunch of online cyberbullies that are going after some Hillary supporters. End of story. Yeah, in their dreams. However, the media of malice is not finished with their perceived enemies and has targeted retired General Michael Flynn, who Trump has named as his national security advisor. Flynn became somewhat of a conspiracy theorist after doing such a good job in the military that Obama drummed him out of the service and he took a deeper look at things. Flynn has posted earlier on Twitter about the Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein connection of child trafficking and rape, which is still a hot potato in Congress. When the WikiLeaks made it known that a restaurant in Washington, D.C. was the hub of a pedophile ring frequented by John Podesta, Hillary's campaign manager, a virtual can of worms was opened and a myriad of mounting evidence begs for an official investigation. As a result of all this negative publicity, of political elites committing acts of pedophilia. A gunman walked into the pizza place and fired off one round from nothing other than an AR-15, the most hated weapon in America. This prompted the firing from Trump's transition team, Flynn's son, who, like father, like son, was also posting about the conspiracy. Now, the media would divert attention away from the alleged child sex operation perpetrators and spin it as far away as a deplorable gun nut and Trump supporter could go. There's just one problem. The shooter, 28-year-old Edgar Welch, who said he was armed to save children, is literally an actor. To see how the media can now blame alternative online media generating fake news, I guess it's so fake that many of these conspiracy websites have been shut down. Congress critters are talking about passing laws to put fake news journalists in jail. Even the Pope has chimed in saying fake news is a sin and that it's a sickness. Quote, always wanting to cover scandals, covering nasty things, even if they're true. What? I had to read the last part. Even if they're true? If it's fake, then why are they having a hysterical panic attack on steroids? Because it's a conspiracy. And I can't even begin to provide all the evidence that points to one of the most revealing satanic cults of sickening perversions, all of whom have direct ties to the upper echelons of government and wealth. Even George Soros is linked to Comet Ping Pong, the name of the pizzeria, as a financial supporter. This psyop couldn't be more well-oiled and slippery if it tried. But no matter how much lubricant they put into their diabolical conspiracies, too many people are becoming aware, and the brakes will be smoking to put a halt to it. I presume that our ministry and fellowship would qualify as one of those thousands of online bullies. In fact, it goes deeper than just having or giving a sermon about America's cesspool of criminal politics, especially if your Christian identity and talk too much about the Jews. They are really pressing their luck. But who can blame a cornered rat? After the Bolshevik Revolution and Jewish communism was in full swing, anti-Semitism was a capital offense. It was punishable by law, and the punishment was death. December 1st, just a few weeks ago, the U.S. Senate passed a bill called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which I'm sure a lot of people, or should I say non-Jews, are unaware of. It's an awareness act that people are unaware of. Michael Hoffman reports, quote, the official explanation for the thought police enabler in the Senate is that the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act seeks to adopt the U.S. State Department's definition of anti-Semitism so that the Education Department may consider it in investigating reports of religiously motivated campus crimes. The misnamed bill, it's not about merely raising awareness, gives the federal government the authority to investigate ideas, thoughts, and political positions as violations of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It's supported by the Israeli lobby in the U.S. and appears to be the work of the Israeli government. Now, mainstream media, such as the New York Times, which are obsessed with detecting supposed Russian meddling in American politics, have reported barely a word about the legislation, which has the fingerprints of a foreign power all over it. Crimes covered by the bill, considered anti-Semitic, are the following: accusing Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. 2, judging Israel by a double standard that one would not apply to any other democratic nation. And 3, demonizing Israel by blaming it for interreligious or political tensions. End quote. Wow. This is a bloody shell game in which the word Jew can mean a country, a religion, or a people. It can be whatever they want at any given time. And should it be in the education department, legislating their own ministry of propaganda? The instant this bill passes in the House of Representatives, who are for the most part the best Jewish money can buy, the First Amendment to free speech is dead for all intents and purposes. It will be open season for white Christian Americans who open their mouths. Maybe. Maybe it will herald the clarion call to millions of Jew fighters who don't get the memo on harmony. Maybe a Trump supporter is just a precursor to the Trump of God, who has the high energy for friction like you've never seen it before. You can either have a heart attack fearing the coming battle, or you can lift up your head giving thanks to the Most High for the smoke and fire about to put the world ablaze. May be a blessing, and it's about time. The timing is perfect. Go ahead and make my day, you filthy, rotten Jew. Arrest me and your satanic law, and I'll see you in the divine court of justice. We have already proven that we are the true descendants of Shem and therefore the true Semites. How can we then be against ourselves? No, we are against the congenital murderers and thieves, the priestcraft of Baal, the sodomites and pedophiles, the predators of our posterity. And we will not sit quietly while degenerates mock our God. We are the friction Christian, and you scum of the earth rub us the wrong way. Prepare to die, you sons of Canaan. The word of God is swift and sure. You can have your peace, but never our hope. Thank you.